Right now on VFN TV, an imam of a mosque in Orlando reportedly, or allegedly, the shooter attended his online whatever it is thing going on. He's saying specifically to Fox reporter, we'll be talking about this, that journalists need to be beheaded. In addition, we're going to have Youssef on, who wrote a book called The Son of Hamas, because he is a son of the leader of Hamas and how he became a Christian. And he's speaking today. You'll have hear him speaking to the Jerusalem Post, a powerful, powerful program to give you a great perspective and compassion for the Arab people today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Another headline read, "Does God play softball? Hail the size of softballs destroy thousands of homes and autos."
Terrifying storms blasting up to softball-sized hail.
A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation.
And it is with great sadness that I share we have not 20 but 50 casualties. In addition to the shooter, there are another 53 that are hospitalized.
During the calls, he said he was doing this for the leader of ISIL, who he named and pledged loyalty to.
Nations shall be shaken, but kingdoms will be jolted.
Voters in the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union.
We are in World War III, and so the Congress should be dealing with this.
We've been infiltrated.
Who do you think is writing your foreign policy?
When the president of the free world stands and says that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate. He provides the climate, the perfect climate, to create more terrorism.
Embracing a perverted interpretation of Islam that calls for war against America and the West.
Islam is about peace and brotherhood.
One of the prophetic dreams God gave us was how this current administration cut a covenant with Islam, and we're seeing specifically it looks like this thing is being walked out.
I just felt it in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, if they divide Jerusalem, if America has a hand, if the Secretary of State or the President or whoever has a hand in causing Israel to divide Jerusalem and giving up that land for peace, I will divide America.
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county-by-county fight. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
The pastor and the sheriff are some of the most important folks in your community.
It's going to be full-scale war. It's going to be with all the capabilities of the IDF.
Best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state.
We can actually win the hearts over if we go out and begin to evangelize and share the love of God. Militant times are coming, but it's time for the church to be able to rise up.
The trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel.
Only a united church can heal a divided nation.
God is calling out the evangelists to arise and to proclaim the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders, because this is the season for the glory of God to shine, and the world is going to know that Jesus the Savior is alive and well.
Let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. About 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about a million a month.
What many say is the greatest spiritual awakening in Southern West Virginia history.
Lord, you're going right to change.
Billy Graham's mantle's coming on this nation. There was coming a call when the Gentile Rus would begin to unite together all across the globe and begin to declare, your people will be my people. We're declaring Jubilee is time for another great messianic awakening.
We Catholics,
abbiamo ricevuto tanto.
We've dal received movimento di Azusa Street. So much from the Azusa Street
revival. Di voi protestanti.
We want to ask you Protestants. We want to ask for your forgiveness for not respecting the love of the law.
Per non aver usato.
I want to walk with those who walk in agreement. I'm telling you, we can make a difference. But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
Smith Wigglesworth, he made this statement just before he died. Whenever the word comes together with the spirit, we will have the greatest spiritual awakening the world has ever known. If you say yes, I will go. Yes, I will mobilize. If you can't go, then you're responsible to mobilize those who can go.
This is so exciting to watch all these things take place. You know, we live in God.
Yes.
We abide with God, and we're excited about the things of God. And I believe the church is going to get excited again about the things of God.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Today's program, we're going to go to the Orlando shooting that took place, and allegedly, this particular imam of this mosque, his name is Marcus Robinson, was being interviewed by a Fox TV reporter and asking them about some very specific things that he allegedly said. And he's saying it here on this video, saying that he believes that some journalists need to be beheaded and women need to be stoned. And the shooter of this massacre in Orlando allegedly was connected to this guy's ministry. I don't know. Let's take a look now.
Part two of my interview with the controversial imam. Police say the Orlando terrorist was enrolled in his website, but the imam denies this. Now more from him. Hypothetically, do you condemn stoning a woman to death for adultery?
No, I do not condemn that.
Why not?
Do you condemn someone getting to electric chair for whatever crime they get the electric chair for?
So you think adultery for a woman is a death penalty offense?
Not just a woman. Why do you want to specify a woman?
Because I see the women being stoned to death, and I don't see the men. Are they stoning the men to death?
Well,
Are they?
I don't know.
Okay, I see, the only thing I see, and I haven't seen it with my own eyes, but,
right.
I see the women getting stoned to death for adultery, and I don't see the men getting stoned to death.
This is unfair. You know, I do. If that was the case, I would agree with you that this would be a biased type of approach. What I do not condemn is the concept that stoning is an inappropriate punishment for adultery, because we find in the Quran and in the Sunnah that we stone for a person who is an adulterer, meaning has been married. However, I don't think that we have a foot to stand on when we talk about, when we Americans talk about the death penalty, when we also implement the death penalty.
I guess the other thing too is that I guess in Islam, a man can have more than one.
Still, adultery is adultery. A man should be stoned.
A man can have more than one wife, but a wife can't have more than one husband, right?
Of course not. But still.
What do you mean, of course not?
Of course not. It's not natural.
So when they behead James Foley, a journalist, your thought is what?
I believe some journalists need to be beheaded, but I wouldn't have done that.
You believe some journalists need to be beheaded?
I only say that facetiously.
Okay.
How can you in any way justify
ISIS?
I'm not justifying it. I was just stating that, you know, no, I don't justify any of their activities, and no, I don't think that.
Shouldn't we stop them?
No. Why would we?
Beheading people, beheading Americans.
Okay. Don't we have our own problems here?
Yeah, we got problems here, but...
Okay, so is it our business?
Well, apparently some of those problems are being imported here.
Only because I think that because we feed into this and we grow it here.
Can you imagine? He's sitting there saying some journalists need to be beheaded. And if you've been watching VFN TV quite some time, you saw the tragedy that took place with James Foley and how we didn't even respond. And after he was beheaded, he's a journalist from America, was beheaded, our president went out and played golf after making a short announcement about it. It's just amazing. Here he is, reportedly down here in Orlando, where this shooter who killed 49 Americans and wounded many more in the shooting in Orlando said his allegiance was to this very same thing this man is connected to Islam, to radical Islam, to ISIS, to the state of ISIS, to Baghdadi, the one that supposedly heads up that whole radical Islam. It's like, what are we coming to? And then women need to be stoned. You hear again and again that Islam is a peaceful religion. Again and again, we're seeing people that claim to be connected to the teachings of Muhammad. And they talked also about the Sunni, the Sharia law books that are, they talked about those two things. It says that a woman should be stoned for adultery. Well, that's what these particular parts of that religion are living by and teaching that. And it says that, you know, one of the writings says very specifically that they should rain down hell on top of homosexuals. They should be killed, that they should be relieved of their sin or something. This is what they're being taught. So he goes into a bar that's a homosexual bar and starts shooting people based on things that he's taught. That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve forgives. He actually loves the sinner. He loves us, and he wants us to come to him. And whatever God they're serving is not God at all, and his son is not Jesus Christ. And it's so important for us to really understand that. And one man who got this, and he wrote a book called The Son of Hamas, his name is Yousef. It's a powerful book. We'll be talking to him more about that in the program. But he also created a movie that was released in 2014 called The Green Prince. And he's going to be speaking today. You're going to hear him at the Jerusalem Post. But this is a man who grew to understand that Islam was a religion of violence, that radical Islam is against everything that's right, and that he found Jesus Christ and made him the Lord of his life. And now he's speaking. This is somebody who Hamas is the very ones who were firing those rockets from the southern borders, thousands of rockets into Israel. And this man, Yousef, is the son of the leader of Hamas. That's why his book's called The Son of Hamas. But guess what? God reached down in all that situation and saved him. As a matter of fact, here is the trailer for that movie so you can see it. Maybe you can watch this movie, but also after our break, we're going to see him speak at Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, at the Jerusalem Post. But first, let's take a look at this movie.
This is my chance to be a hero for the sake of the nation. But Allah had other plans for me. We had the right to make the other side feel our pain.
Recruiting is an art, a very difficult art.
You need to make him betray his own people.
He asked me, would you work for us? To collaborate with Israel is the most shameful thing.
The first day handling him was the first day of the end of my career.
We called him the Green Prince.
My father was the top Hamas leader in the West Bank. He had no clue what I was doing.
It's like recruiting the son of the Israeli prime minister.
Deep in my heart, I was really terrified.
A good source needs to be with you, not against you.
You're a target, and you can get killed anytime.
I really felt responsible for Mossad as a source and as a human being.
I was on my own.
He was in a real trouble.
I start to realize that people are dying because of this lie.
This is a big game.
No one else knows about you. You start to lose your sense of reality.
He's not just a source. He was there for us all the time.
That kind of bond is impossible to break.
Al-Qaeda immediately issued a death sentence for him.
Go underground. Don't come back, ever. I am not who you think I am.
Powerful, powerful testimony from this particular man. When we come back from this break, we're going to see him firsthand as Yousef is speaking at the Jerusalem Post, which is their newspaper there that reaches around the world, which is a powerful thing. As a matter of fact, his name tag said, Son of Hamas. Hamas is the enemy of Israel. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this.
How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? It will kill you. We've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. We need teachers ready to take new believers and get them established soundly on sound doctrine and made disciples, not just converts. One of the greatest reasons for the greatest weakness, I think, today is we've been making converts instead of disciples. No, the Great Commission's to make disciples, and we've got to be that first if we're going to make others. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. It's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. And we have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Isn't it shocking that this particular Iman leader in America, but in Orlando, Marcus Robertson's talking about, it was ruthless. I mean, we saw the beheading of James Foley.
Horrific.
And I could not believe that, and we'll make that a related so you can see about what happened during that time, but the president came and gave a 5-minute speech and then went out and played golf after that.
Mm.
And it's been shocking how the Christians have been persecuted, and Americans, you know, around the earth, and there's been no response.
Well, this has been on the increase. This is the culture of today's
society.
Well,
that was in the Middle East. Now is on Orlando, where 49 Americans are just mowed down, you know, in this doctrine of Islam and Sharia. It's real. And if you listen to John Guindola, when we had him on the program talking about, this is a man who taught the FBI about Islam, and he says there's no such thing as peaceful Islam.
if you're truly following Islam and what they teach. And they teach that what happened in Orlando, based on what he's saying, John Gondola saying, and others have said, that that would be, and even one particular imam, I believe, was interviewed down there in Orlando that was, he visited there about a real soft-spoken imam or leader. He goes, so that it would be the nicest thing to relieve them by ending their life. I was like, what? Oh my goodness.
Relieve them, right.
Yeah, it was like killing is not, murder is Christianity. As Christians, we lay down our lives. We don't lay down other people's lives.
What about this kill list? There was a kill list.
8,000.
8,000 individuals. I heard Rick Wiles talking about how he was trying to get to see this list to be open. He's a part of True News, and he was came to find out that the community college and all these different places that allegedly the one who performed the terrorist attack and killed the 49 people in Orlando lived, I mean, and lived life close to his home. And he's thinking, here I am on television along with many other people speaking truth, speaking about what's happening.
Well, that list was first made known in, I think, over in Great Britain, maybe over in Europe, where somebody went in and murdered a captain at his home and his family and left his toddler to be in the blood alive, moving around in his parents' blood, and videoed it live and broadcasted it live on Facebook.
Wow.
And that's where it's understood, and I believe he spoke about it as well, allegedly, that there's a list of 8,000, and they're planning on doing this to 8,000, and that our leaders have this list. And I heard, you know, Glenn Beck talking about it as well, saying that they will not get this list to the people so you can protect those ones. But rest assured, it's probably people that are speaking truth.
Exactly.
One of them being, you know, Musab Youssef. This is such a powerful book. You got to get this book. Maybe you can see it on the screen. But it gives you such a perspective of the Arab people and how that you're raised and your community does make a difference. If nobody ever told you about Jesus, how are you going to know about
you're
Jesus?
You're a product of your environment.
If everybody told you the Jews are bad and you never got a chance to interact with the Jews, then that's what they believed until he met the Jews and found out that they treated him well, and instead of, you know, doing terrible things to him, they gave him money and said, why don't you go to school and get an education? Mm. They gave him thousands of dollars. Why don't you start a business? And it just blew his mind because he couldn't figure out, you know, it's this total opposite of what's going on. And then we have, you know, Kamal Saleem, when he comes to America as a radical jihadist and he meets Christians, and it blew his mind because he was taught that Christians are evil and bad. And here he was in a car accident. He got put in the hospital and Christians just gathered around him, brought them into their house, loved on them, helped them back, gave them a car, and he made Jesus the Lord of his life through that. And it's like, the answer is the missions, you know, all of us going into all of the world. And we have listeners and viewers all in the Middle East and in Jordan and Saudi Arabia and all over the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by standing with VFN TV as a partner, you're helping to get this testimony out there and this truth. But think how big this is. This is the son of Hamas leader, the leader, well, first of all, the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood major leader, Uma Abedin. She is the assistant for Hillary Clinton during the time of her being Secretary of State. And she's like the daughter of a leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. And but this is like her getting saved, her giving her life to son of Hamas. So here he is speaking in Jerusalem, who was a former enemy of Israel and the Jews, who now is a friend of Israel, a friend. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. He's a brother in the Lord, and he's speaking at the Jerusalem Post, and his name tag says, Son of Hamas. Let's go there now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. Great energy. Thank you very much for having me. It's a great privilege. The Jerusalem Post annual conference. The first time I got to know about the newspaper was in prison about 20 years ago. First, I wanted to learn English, and this is why I started to learn to read the Jerusalem Post. But eventually, it became my window towards the Jewish world and towards the Western world as well. 16 months in Israeli prison, reading almost every day. So I have some connection to the Jerusalem Post somehow. I don't know where to start, but you can use your imagination of the son of a top Hamas leader, and what in the world is he doing at the Jerusalem Post annual conference? They gave me a tag. I don't wear it right now, but they had on it the son of Hamas. And I went through security all the way to the backstage. You gotta trust them, guys. Two guys working on the top of a very high building. One Jewish, and the other guy is an Arab. The Jewish guy opened his lunch, and there was a shawarma. And he said, enough shawarma. If tomorrow my sandwich is gonna be shawarma, I will jump and kill myself. The Palestinian guy or the Arab guy opened and was falafel. And he said, no more falafel. If tomorrow falafel, I'll jump, kill myself. That's it. Next day, the Jewish guy opened the sandwich and it was shawarma. He threw it on the side, came very fast, jumped, killed himself. The Palestinian opened and it was falafel and he was very furious. And he said, I said, enough falafel. He threw it, he jumped, killed himself. At their funerals, the Jewish wife was crying very hard, saying, I don't know what's his problem. If he told me, I would have changed it to something else. The Arab wife was crying bitterly and saying, I don't know what's his problem. I don't know what's his problem. He makes his own sandwiches. Okay, back to the story. It's very hard, you know, to encapsulate a human journey, a human evolution in any form of language. Rather than English is not my mother tongue, but I try as much as I can. Truth at those heights cannot be conveyed in any form, actually. Not a movie, not a book, not a speech. We cannot reduce ourselves to words that cannot defend themselves. And somebody is going to take this speech, take it out of the context, and serve maybe some Palestinian agenda eventually. This is how it works. People don't see things for what they are. But I'm sure that some of you at least will understand where I'm coming from. At some point, I was paid by the Israeli government, by the U.S. government, by the Palestinian Authority, and by Hamas organization. I was working for all those guys at the same time. So today, if I speak with the authority of experience. It's not from the books. It's not a second-hand knowledge that I got from somebody. I don't represent government or politicians. I represent myself. I am an individual. I am not an organization. And I don't like to take sides, because I don't belong to nations. I don't belong to the crowd. I have transcended this long time ago. But the Jewish nation is dear to me. And when I see nations unifying against the Jewish people, it hurts me. Because at some point, I thought the Jewish people were the enemies of humanity. I thought that they were the enemies of our people, the Palestinian people. until I came to experience what the Jewish nation really is. Through intelligence service, through witnessing the true democratic model in an ocean of darkness, the only light in the Middle East. And I wonder, people here in the free world who think that they are free, unifying against Israel, attacking Israel, isolating Israel, boycotting Israel, BDS and all this hypocrisy. Of course, hypocrisy coming together with political correctness, because it's the same. Two faces for the same coin. In the Muslim society, I witnessed a woman who sent five of her children to die in suicide bombing attacks, one after another. She would put the explosive belt on them and bless them and say, go kill the Jews. To gain respect in her society. This is hypocrisy. My father disowned me because he's a hypocrite. On a personal level, he's a loving father. But when he puts the Hamas mask that he cannot exist without, he's a monster, he's something else. And this is the problem with that society conditioning. That if you take individuals on the side, they're just human beings like us. Any of us could have or have been brought in that environment would be conditioned in the same way. The human condition does not differentiate between an Arab or a Jewish person. But the collective mind of the society is representing something. It's representing an ideology, a culture, a state of consciousness that calibrates in darkness, that calibrates in the 7th and 6th centuries. Ruled by tribal lust for power. It have not changed, or it has not changed. Muhammad, and I know that I've been told by people here not to say this, so it does not look like the Jews are going against the Muslims. But we cannot fool ourselves. There is an Islamic problem. Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, ISIS, Boko Haram, all of them are killing by the name of Allah. They're not killing by the name of Jesus. They're not killing by the name of Jehovah. They're not killing by the name of Mahavira or the Buddha or Lao Tzu. They're killing by the name of Allah. There is an Islamic problem, and I think humanity needs to stand against this danger, because this danger is not only against the state of Israel. This danger, thank you, thank you. This danger is against the evolvement of mankind. Political correctness. I don't know if there is any CNN reporters or representatives here tonight. You know, political correctness, when my friend invited me to his wedding and he asked me to wear a tuxedo, and I thought it was a speedo for a second. There is a big difference, right? That would have been politically incorrect. But when it comes to matters, universal issues, when we see waves of violence and darkness taking over and spreading, and we choose to stick our head in the sand with the name of political correctness, the truth is that we are afraid. And we are trying not to provoke them more. We are trying not to create a religious war. But there has been a religious war, whether you like it or not. The better way is to face it, to grow up, and face it with courage. This is what I say. The problem The problem is not in the individual. We are not against the Muslim people. I cannot be against my mother and my father and my people. They're just people. And there are idiots everywhere in every nation. But I'm talking about the collective consciousness of nations, of regions, and the cosmic consciousness of all humanity. The Muslim people have a problem, and their problem is in their belief system. They have to face it, and we need to encourage them to fight the good fight, as I did. If I was able, you know, I had privileges as the son of a top Hamas leader. I had something to lose. But the average Muslim person don't have lots of things to lose. They're already living in darkness and misery. If they leave it, it's better for them. When I left, I did not leave misery. I left privilege. I left position. I was paid. I was protected. Everybody wanted me to stay wearing the mask. I am a living example and a challenge, and I will continue to be to every individual who lives in the Muslim world, that this is the time to grow up, to destroy the walls, and to transcend the conditioning of the society. This is the only way. But to tell them, no, Islam is a religion of peace, we just create the perfect climate for terrorists to keep on growing. I say otherwise. Our problem is not with the individual. Our problem is with the belief system that humanity and the free world need to unify, as eventually, even though it was too late, the world unified against Nazism. Today, free people need to unify against Islam, not against the Muslim people, against Islam itself as a belief system. When the president of the free world stands and say, when the president of the free world stands and say that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate, he provides the climate, the perfect climate to create more terrorism. I hope that my message does not come across. I don't want to create more chaos, but there is no other way. You know, I wish I could be more gentle to represent this issue. But I've seen death, and I came from hell, and it's very dark. What is the alternative for Israel and for democracy, or for the American Constitution? It's the darkness of the 6th century. This is what's the alternative. You know, I don't believe that there is any system, including the American Constitution, that can solve the human condition or help the individual to integrate to a higher state. I believe this is up to the individual. But the difference between the 7th century environment and democracy, that the individual has more room and more peace or peaceful environment to grow. I experienced it myself. When I was in Ramallah, I was only able to practice Islam. I only knew the mosque. But in Tel Aviv, I practiced Christianity. When I was a Muslim also, I practiced Islam in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, where the Jewish people are not allowed to worship at their Temple Mount. Then a bunch of hypocrites called BDS come and compare Israel to the racist regime of South Africa. How can you compare? If it's the capital of the Jewish people, and the Israeli government are not allowing the Jewish people to worship freely in their capital, on their holiest site, for political correctness, not to offend the Muslims. and give them that kind of freedom. How can we compare this to that? In Tel Aviv, I was able to practice yoga. I was able to practice Christianity. They're Muslims, they're Druze, they're all type of people, all type of religions, protected under the Israeli umbrella and the Israeli law. This is not available in the other countries surrounding. If Israel is destroyed or if Israel is isolated, what is the alternative? What those people are doing, I really don't understand. I know that I came across pro-Israeli this afternoon, but it has been a privilege. Why not? I love Israel. I love what Israel stands for. Its ethics, its values, its democracy, its love. A nation that was able to overcome the Holocaust, and instead of playing the victim mentality and blame everyone for their suffering, they were able to build a state, a democratic state, make it from a newborn state to an advanced and completely developed state in less than 25 years. This is a great example. It has been a pleasure. I appreciate the love of the Jewish nation everywhere in the world. I don't care what they label me. Again, I speak with the authority of experience. If they have anything to say, they can say it right to my face. If they have the courage, but I doubt. I would like to conclude with another joke, if you don't mind. Well, I take the advantage, and this is a Jewish crowd. Let's make a joke about Jewish people. So this Jewish guy, and also a Muslim guy. The first guy, the Jewish, fell off a cliff, and luckily there was, actually vice versa. The Muslim guy fell, and there was a branch, and he was hanging on the branch. And he was screaming to God, God, help me. Then he heard a voice from the cloud coming, and he said, son, let go. Just let go, trust me. And he let go. The guy fell, his bones were destroyed, and God said to him, you idiot, you shouldn't listen to me. Next time, you learned your lesson. And a Jewish guy fell, and he was hanging on the branch, and he said, God, help me. And he heard the voice, son, let go, trust me, just let go. And the Jewish guy screamed back and said, help, is there anyone else up there? This tells us maybe the difference. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. God bless Israel. Thank you very much.
What a powerful speech. This in its entirety will be on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. We're going to go to a break. That is Masab Youssef. Like I said, his book is Son of Hamas. Powerful, powerful testimony. Invite him to your church to come and speak at your church. We're going to go. I got this offer for you. We're going to come back and talk more about this.
Offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith, Galatians 2:20. Not only is it important to know and to understand your enemy, it is just as important to be able to fight your enemy from a stable place where your footing is stable. We're clearly told that our enemy is not a physical enemy, but a spiritual one. Spiritual forces of evil, powers, and principalities. In this message, through sharing a vision that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries had and he wrote about in Final Quest, we'll be able to identify the best place to fight the good fight of faith and to be able to set the captives free. But also, we'll set you above your enemy so your enemy's weapons can't even reach you, those spiritual enemies. It's a powerful teaching. Listen, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. This is a powerful revelation. You'll find out more about it as a free offer for your gift of any amount. It's offer 2009, best place to stand when fighting the good fight of faith.
You can simply just go to our website at VFNTV.com and click on Partner and follow the prompts. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call at 844-408-3688. That's 844-408-3688. It's offer 2009 with your gift of any amount.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, old Van Safter, that old evangelist from North Carolina, he used to talk about denominational tags. He said, you know, when you go down to hell, they all burn off. And when you go up to heaven, they all fall off. Amen. Amen.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategeia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Is it legal to read your Bible at work during break time? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I am a dock foreman at a prominent company in St. Louis. I was told that I could not read my Bible, specifically my Bible, while I had idle time working on my job as far as a dock foreman. And my question is that an infringement of my constitutional right? Because other people that are employed here, they also read the Bible. But I was told that I could specifically.
Well, reading the Bible is not a banned act and certainly not an illegal act. And if they allow you to read material at work during break times, you certainly should not be prohibited from, in this particular case, reading the Bible. It's not a banned book. It doesn't create a religiously hostile environment. And there really should not be any problem with this.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Crystal from Fairmont, West Virginia, is a life mastery consultant, and she asked me to talk for a moment about the word gratitude. It reminds me of a few years ago when we had all the grandchildren over our house at Thanksgiving, and in preparation for this day of expressing Thanksgiving and gratitude, Margaret had bought the little grandchildren pilgrim costumes. Oh, you ought to have seen them. We decided to have a Thanksgiving program, and so we practiced and worked on our little sayings and our thoughts and the verses that we were going to quote. And it was a lot of fun getting ready for the big program. And I'll never forget John, who at that time was, I think, about three. We were doing a thing that basically was that attitude is an expression of gratitude. And this little kid of my grandson, who's named after me, who gets all the inheritance, by the way, this little kid is having a hard time with the expression attitude as a result, or gratitude as a result of attitude. And he's worked on it, and he's worked on it, and he said it about a half a dozen times, and finally he just kind of exasperated, falls on the floor and says, "Papa, it's just too hard to do this." And I thought as he lay there on the floor, that's the way a lot of people feel about gratitude. They just feel it's too hard to express, and so they don't. Or they are what I call the silent gratitude people. They say, "Well, I don't say it, but I feel it." Well, that's too bad, because the rest of us don't know you're feeling it. Show it to your face. Say it in your words. Gratitude. Basically, it's you and me saying we realize that other people are important in our life, and that what we have is not because of what we've done, but because of what others do for us also. It's an expression that goes a long way in helping others feel important.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Powerful. Mm. So powerful.
The Green Prince.
The Green Prince. That's the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And just am so moved by his testimony. I mean, when I read his book, he talks about when you're only raised up speaking one language, you can say what you want to, but that's the only language you can speak.
Mm-hmm.
If you're only exposed to Islam, that's all you know. He just didn't know the other existed. And this perspective that he got from people who were in Islam, Hamas and all, was like, the Jews are bad. Well, they weren't bad, but he thought they were. And when he first got picked up, his perception was that they were, you know, and the Jews are just trying to survive because Hamas is trying to kill them and blow things up and stab them. And you can even see in our program today how it began. You're seeing a Jewish man standing by the bus stop, and all of a sudden this woman in a hijab in her purse pulls out a blade that long and begins to stab at the Jewish man at the bus stop.
Mm-hmm. It's an indoctrination. It's not just an exposure. An indoctrination that starts even at an early age, as young as children, mm-hmm. being taught stab.
Right.
So this is a long teaching over and over and over again. Right. You can certainly understand how someone gets to that point.
Yeah, and so, you know, the battle, he says, not against the Muslim people. The battle is against this belief system of Islam,
mm-hmm.
which John Guandola, the former FBI agent, said that's exactly what it is. But we have our current leadership, of which Hillary Clinton was part of, purging any mention of the belief system of Islam and radical Islam as an enemy of America. When the guy who was doing the shooting in Orlando got on the phone, dialed 911, and told everybody that his allegiance is to Islam. And it didn't just start there. It's a whole history. When 9/11 happened, the reports are this shooter who killed 49 people in the state of Florida in Orlando just recently, he stood up and applauded in his classroom as a student when 9/11 happened. He stood up, the reports are, in his classroom and applauded when all these thousands of Americans were being killed. It didn't just happen. It's the belief system. And the answer to it is Christians need to begin to believe the gospel. We need to begin to believe what God has told us, and that the power, he says, this is what he said. He said, you know, Yusuf said, I fought the good fight. He's talking about he fought the good fight of faith, and he found Jesus Christ. And the results of him finding Jesus Christ, who is a Jew, is he loves the Jews. He loves Israel and the democracy, the light. He says it's the only light in the midst of all the ocean of darkness in the Middle East. And you hear people talking about boycott, divest, and sanctions against Israel. The only light. And you're seeing people support these ships coming in from Turkey and all, trying to bring in weapons, and you're seeing people support Hamas and that wants to shoot, who shot missiles up into the southern parts of Israel. You're seeing, you know, Syria, and you're seeing ISIS trying to gather around Israel, and it's like that's our friend.
He's a great testimony to many Arabs. Like he says, he was a person of privilege. He had something to lose. His father's a top leader in Hamas.
Yes,
and if he was able to walk away for what was right,
right.
Imagine all the many Muslims that are oppressed, that they're in darkness, they have very, very little. There's nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is an upgrade.
So I want to talk to you right now. If you are a Muslim and you are like Yusuf and you don't know anything else, but you just found out about his testimony and his life, he's just lit up with life and opportunity and love and compassion, and he's found out so much more. I want to challenge you to go and get this book and read his book, or go and watch the movie The Green Prince, and contact us, because we know that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. And if somebody's keeping you and holding you down and preventing you from getting to hope and forgiveness and mercy and love, that can't be good. Because if you love someone, you want them to find God. You want them to be forgiven. That eternity is for real. And it's a choice that we make. And if the only way, there's only one name under all of heaven where a man must be saved. One. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's not a prophet. He is the Son of God who loves you. who loves you and has a plan for your life. And we shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org, but there's one particular testimony there by Barbara Still, and her name used to be Khadija, which you'll be familiar who that is. And she went from being a Muslim, and she found Jesus Christ like Yusuf and made her gave her life to Jesus Christ. And now she's just this beautiful woman with five blessed children and great family, and God's just blessed her. I want to challenge you. Don't just shut it down. To say, Jesus, show yourself to me. Lord, I want to know you. If you're real, you know, I want to know you. I want to, and he'll make a way to get to you. And start connecting to us on VFN TV through the SoundCloud, through Facebook, through social media, VFNTV.com. But let's stay connected, and we'll encourage you in your walk in Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, we just pray for all of our Arab listeners, the Muslim listeners and viewers that are out there right now that are watching, God. We pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, Lord God, like you did to Yusuf. Lord, that they would fight the good fight of faith and they would find out that you love them. You got a plan for their life and that you died for them. They do not have to die for you. That we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace through our faith in you, Jesus. Lord, we just ask for salvation, Lord God, of the Muslim people, Father God, of the Arab people, Father God, and those that are watching, Lord. We ask this in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.